All right, Crossway Church, what an honor to be with you guys again. I guess I didn't blow it that bad last time, so they had me back. But hey, I'm fired up to be with you today. I didn't know we were going to read the text right before, so this is a little bit awkward, but I planned as a former youth pastor, we're going to do a crowd breaker, so we just went into that deep text, and we'll come back to it, but I thought we'd do a little crowd breaker because I wanted to make sure the youth and the adults had a little battle this morning. So, youth, are you ready to battle some adults? Yeah, come on. Come on. Got some of that Christmas angst you need to work out this morning in front of the whole church. So, here's what we're going to do. I thought I just need some courageous teenagers. I need some teenagers up here on my side. I need four teenagers. Over here, just self-select. Come on, Bruce. It's going to be fine. Just, I promise it won't be horrible. Four teenagers, come on, man. And I need four parents of teenagers on this side. Four parents of teenagers on this side. Come on, I need some courageous parents. Yes, come on. And I need parents whose kids won't die 1,000 deaths if you come up here. You know what I'm saying? So, four parents on this side. All right, don't make me do it army style. Come on, there we go. All right. Just for fun, it's the last Sunday of the year, so we're just going to have some fun for a moment, and then we'll jump into the text. So, parents, I need one more parent over here. Don't make me go army style on you, bro. Come on, man. Yeah, there you go. Here, and then here's a pin. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to compete, and the first team that gets to four is going to win, and it's just bragging rights. I don't have, like, cars or anything for the winners or anything, but I do have about 5 dozen donuts out there that I brought in case, so you can have a whole box if you want, okay? So just bragging rights today, parents versus teens, let's go. Okay, ready. Question one, and you first two are battling, and it just goes down. First team to four wins. Ready? Okay. On average, how many days a year does a kid spend in school? On average, how many days a year does a kid spend in school? When I saw this question, I go, it's perfect. It's primarily Asian kids. It's going to be awesome, you know? So, let's just see. It's just a guess. It's like, on average, how many days a year does a kid spend in school? I need someone just to do a little 15-second timer. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Whistle for me. You got it? You got an answer? Okay. On the count of three, show your answer to the crowd. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Marker's bad. Okay. Here we go. The answer is 180 days. How many you get? 180? Are you kidding me? However, just so we can celebrate, it says kids in China spend 221 days a year in school. So, okay. But anyway, okay, teens got one, all right? So you go to the back, pass the card. So, all right, come on, let's go, parents. You got this. Question two. Here we go. In feet, how tall is the Sleeping Beauty Castle at Disneyland? It's so random, right? Anyway, sorry. It's a massive guess. In feet. Okay, ready? You got something? You can say that. Do we have a dry erase marker? I guess I didn't. I should have checked the markers. Here, just write it real quick, whatever your guess is. Thank you, Sammy. All right, here we go. Ready? Here's the answer. 77 feet. The castle. Oh, okay, ready? One. I'm sorry. Ready? Go. Ready? Show your answers. 70. Youth are kicking butt this morning. Oh, sorry. Can you say that in church? I'm sorry. The castle's top towers get smaller in order to make the castle seem actually taller. All right, here we go. Two for the youth. Oh, bragging rights are on. All right. All right, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, right? Okay, next question. Here we go. In miles per hour, how fast can a cheetah run? Miles per hour, how fast can a cheetah run?
We get credit for time for...
Oh, you already wrote it? Okay, here you go. Okay, here you go, man. Sorry, this jacked up pin.
You get more points for being faster?
Yes, for sure. You got it? All right. Here's the answer. Then you, show your answers. Show your answer. 3, 2, 1, go. All right, here we go. Here's the answer. 71 miles per hour. Cheetah can only maintain the speed for a short burst, though. 71 miles. So who got closest? 60? 65. Youth are closer. Let's give it up for the teens, man. That was awesome, bro. You did awesome, man. Okay. All right. Last round. Youth 3. Adults are lagging. That's all right, though. Youth are killing it today. Let's go. Okay, here we go. Last question. On average, how many gallons of water does an elephant drink a day?
So who's got the good pen?
This was the good one. Just... Here you go. Okay, here we go. On three, show your answer. 1, 2, 3. Here's the answer, 50 gallons. All right, adults are coming back. 3-1, here we go. Yeah, let's got to get to 4. Let's just do it. Sorry. Here we go. Oh, no, that's impossible. Okay. No, let me change it. Okay, here we go. In minutes and seconds, what is the record for holding one's breath underwater? In minutes and seconds, what is the record for holding one's breath underwater? Okay, you got an answer? Oh, sorry. Here we go. Oh, my gosh. Okay, 3, 2, 1, show the answer. Here's the answer. Guy named Patrick Pearl, 22 minutes, 22 seconds. Dang. Hey, on three, let's celebrate the youth. They crushed it. Thanks, bro. Great job. Man, that Kumon is paying off big time. Youth were crushing it. Hey, do anybody have the cap to the pin? The good pin that worked? Oh, well, it's not a big deal. I drop it? No worries. Oh, that was fun. Thank you guys for just playing along and enjoying the last day of the year. Today, as we open God's Word, where I'd like to start is with a story. This last year in the aging process, so sorry, teens, I wanted to do a game to keep you engaged so that if I tell a boring old guy story, then you'll go, oh, okay, I'll put up with it. So I sensed the Holy Spirit nudging me to saying, hey, Larry, what are you going to do to finish well? What are you going to do to put healthy rhythms in your life so that you're going to stay on task. Because you notice in the aging process, adults, or older adults, I should say, mature adults, there's a reason there's a phrase, grumpy old men. And that's because we have a tendency as we age to move toward that grumpy side, seeing the glass half empty instead of half full. And so we sometimes lean that direction. And so one of the things I decided to do was to take a class, right? Like a good Asian guy, Latino Asian guy. I took a class. I've been taking a spiritual formation class, and that's been super great for my soul. That was the easy one. The hard one was I told my wife, I'm going to go back to counseling and just continue to process stuff so that in the aging process, I'm being a little healthier and I have an outlet to process things. And so I said it out loud, so then I had to do it because my wife heard me, right? So she's like, oh yeah, you should go, you know? So I started seeing this guy, this awesome dude. He's like in his 80s and he's been counseling pastors for over 40 years and just an awesome dude. And we meet every few weeks. And first day we sit down. And he goes, Larry, how's your soul? And I was like, good? You know, I was like, is it a trick question, you know? But really what he was forcing me to do is to look inward and say, I know you're busy. I know you're grinding and you're hustling, trying to be successful and make your mark. But look inside for a minute. How's your soul? And then he says, hey, Larry, I want to read this verse. And it's where I want to start today before we jump to Galatians. He takes me, and if you have your electronic Bible, I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And this is my verse for 2024. We're not going to do a goal-setting thing, but I do want to give us today a little bit of a true north. Kind of as we go into the new year, we want to finish 2023 well with some reflection, and we want to chart a little bit of a pathway going forward. It's Sunday, but Monday's coming, and we're trying to do a little bit of thinking ahead so we can start the year in a healthier way, right? So verse 23 of Proverbs 4. God's word says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So he said, Larry, how are you doing at guarding your heart? I hadn't thought of this verse for a season. This is earlier this year. I hadn't thought of this verse. He goes, hey, Larry, Scripture says above all else. That's like, you know, above everything, yo. Guard your heart. He goes, tell me how you're doing it, guarding your heart. I'm like, oh, bro, I hadn't thought about that. Now, if I could tell you all the things I'm waking up and doing and grinding and working hard, I could tell you that. But I didn't have a plan for guarding my heart. But Scripture says, above all else, guard your heart. Why? The last part of the verse answers it. For everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from your heart. So Scripture is trying to give us an exhortation to guard our hearts so that our life experience, our relationships are healthier. But what happens, there's a battle going on for our souls. Whether you're a teenager, a youth, whether you're an older adult, mature adult, like some of us here, like, you know, in this last third of life for me, hey, how am I doing and guarding my heart. Everything flows from it. So let me talk about that just for a moment. There was a day when I was on fire for God. My heart was full. My heart was open to the things of God. And don't you know that life has a way of beating you down? The pressures of life, the demands of life, right? The enemy's plan, people, is to choke your faith out. Just imagine he's got you in a headlock. Come here, Sammy. He's got you in a headlock, Sammy. He's going to try to choke you out right here, baby. He's a warrior right there, man. Plays water polo. What a stud. But the enemy is trying to choke us out. He's trying to choke us out spiritually. How's he doing that? Distractions with our phones. He's trying to choke out our hearts. You ever notice in the morning, everything is more important than sitting and being with Jesus? It just, I mean, you can have the best intentions, but somehow all these little lesser important things rise to the top. And it's not like the Lord's not saying, oh, you bad Christians. It's not like that. The enemy's just going, I got you again, bro. You're gonna focus on all these dumb little details and you're not going to meet with Jesus. And over time, Larry, your soul is going to shrink. You're not going to guard your heart. And over time, your heart's going to harden and dry out. And then your faith is going to be, you know, really dim. And so when culture comes against you, you're not going to care as much. You're like, ah, okay, whatever. And so this verse awakened me this year to saying, bro, I got to take this more serious. And this, especially in the aging process, I got to be intentional because I want to have healthy relationships with my adult kids, with Jamie. Jamie says hi today. She said she's going to worship at Bedside Baptist today. She couldn't be here today, but anyway, you didn't get that. But anyway, she is here in spirit, I'm sure. But I want you to know, as we think of closing out 2023 and moving into the new year, I want us to put this as a true north for us. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So here's the intentional way this has helped me finish the year. I made sure that I had not just time connecting to Jesus, but I wanted to make sure I had time connecting with my adult kids as they came home. Because everything you do flows from it. When our hearts are full, we have the energy to connect and be present with people. And we had some incredible time with our adult kids. It's not just going to happen. You know how it is. Everybody goes to their rooms, to their devices, and before you know it, you're in the same under the same roof, but there's not closeness. And I'm like, dang, I grew up in a broken, jacked up family that was really distant from each other. My wife did too, relatively speaking, mine more so. I'm like, that's not the move. That's not what we're trying to create here. And so it's got to start with us being in God's presence. And that's where our hearts are fueled, being in his presence. And so here's where I want to start. I know you guys do Q&A at the end. I'm going to mix it up a little bit because I've already kind of thrown it all off anyway. So turn to a neighbor. It could be in your own family units for just a second. Talk about what are the rhythms as you think about closing out 2023 and going into the new year. What are the rhythms? What's one or two rhythms that you need to just like bring to the top of the email inbox, you know what I'm saying? And make it a priority so you can, above all else, guard your heart. For everything we do flows from our hearts, right? So What are one or two rhythms? Now, let me just share this caveat. I'm not trying to say, because the right answer, right, would be meet with Jesus. But I don't mean it in the religious sense of checking the box, I had a quiet time. I mean it in the sense of like, God, I'm desperate for you. This world is trying to choke me out. If I don't have you, I got nothing. And culture is slamming and the winds of culture are blowing against us. And we can't make it just in our human effort, human power. We need God's strength to fuel us for the journey against the winds of culture. So I'm not talking like, oh, because good Christians have a quiet time. I'm saying, no, God, I just need to be in your presence. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes. You know, I need you, God. Like that realization. What are you doing? What rhythms do you need to put in your life to be a healthier version of yourself so that in 2024, your heart will be more full? Just turn to two or three people right around you. What rhythms do you need to put in place as you go into the new year? Ready? Go. Just talk amongst yourself for a moment. What's up, Jordan? Good to see you, man. Five seconds. All right. Time. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So as we head into 2024, I want you to think of that one verse. Maybe some of you will write it out or print it and put it on the dashboard of your car or on the mirror where you get dressed in the morning. Above all else, guard your heart. Because I want us to have a direction, a focus for 2024. A reminder that says, remember whose you are. Remember that we're on the narrow path that leads to life. What are the rhythms that we're going to keep in place? Not religiously, but relationally with a loving Father. If you miss a quiet time, just jump in there tomorrow. Like, don't beat yourself up, but it's just healthy rhythms that will help fuel a life and a soul that's more fully alive. And I think if all of us have a little bit more of that focus in the new year, that's going to be a good thing. Some of you guys are students. You're super busy. We get it. Hey, man, you need Jesus in the mix, in your heart. We all do. And so let's let him grow us to that end. So that's my verse for this year. I hope you'll join me. But here's where I want to put feet to it, because the battle is not easy. And so that's where the text, if now you'd turn to Galatians 5, I want to talk about, well, then how do you do that? How do you guard your heart? In addition to putting rhythms in place, what does it look like to walk this out? And the big idea here from Galatians 5 is to keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And so we read the text, so I'm just going to walk us through this for a moment. Now remember, this text was written to the church of Galatia at a time that was pre-Christian. So it was radical. Paul would come into these cities that were controlled by Rome, and he had the audacity to preach the gospel in the marketplace. to people that were like, who is this guy? Remember in Acts, they called him a babbler. What is he saying? What's he talking about? He would just go into the marketplace, in the public square, and start testifying about Jesus. See, they knew that they believed at that time that Caesar was Lord. Rome was in charge. And Paul has the audacity to come in and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the power of the gospel began to change people one by one by one. It was a pre-Christian context. And it was a bold move on Paul's part to be empowered by a transformed life, by the Holy Spirit and his transformed life. Paul was this bold warrior. Now, we live in a totally different time. We're in a post-Christian culture today. America has seen its day. There was a day when the church was strong and healthy and thriving. America got prideful, thought we were the stuff, thought we didn't need God anymore. And you could see slowly God is being pushed out of every place. And we're now in this post-Christian context. And so now it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit again to empower us to live a Christian life where we're keeping in step with the Spirit, because it's not popular to be people of faith. Just saying. And so if we're going to live this Christian life for real, we're going to need the Holy Spirit's power. So that's where this text comes in, still so relevant today. So we pick it up in verse 16. So I say, Paul writing, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul is making this distinction between the Spirit, pneuma, in the Greek, and the flesh, sarx. He's saying, hey, there's this battle going on. If you're in Christ, you're in the Spirit. That's what Jesus, through the power of the gospel, made possible. You're empowered in the Holy Spirit. You're not doing this thing in your own power. But there's going to be a wrestling match, because sometimes we all default back to the flesh. Spiritually speaking, because of the work of Jesus that he did on the cross, when you accepted Christ, he has awakened you, enlivened you in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not your self-effort. It's all of his work. We talked about that last time. But the challenge is this. The enemy is still lurking. He's still trying to choke you out, like I was messing and with, you know, choking out Sammy. He's trying to choke us out spiritually to get us to default to the flesh, not to the Spirit. And that's where our hearts get dried out, get depleted. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit to what is contrary to the flesh. There's this battle going on. And that's where we find ourselves, not only in our bodies, but here in culture. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. He's telling the church in Galatia, because they had defaulted back from grace. They were awakened to grace, and they had defaulted back to this legalism and religious practice. He's saying, yo, that's what I tell you. You know, Paul had come, and he's like, we talked about this. That's why it's good news. It's all his work, not your self-effort, people. And he was trying to get them back to living life in the Spirit, not in religion or legalism or self-effort. So here's where we pick it up. Verse 19. Now imagine culture at that time. You've read through Corinthians. If you've ever been on the steps of Paul, if you've never been, you got to do the steps of Paul sometime. You got to go see Ephesus is amazing. You gotta go to Philippi and see the jail. You gotta go to some of these places and see the ruins just to remember what Paul was really up against when he would come into these places and preach. I remember going to Corinth, and it was destroyed. There's so many different conquering kingdoms that had come through there and destroyed it. But yet what was remaining, they were still talking about how sexualized that culture was at that time, and how in this port city, sailors and people were coming from all over into these port cities just to, subjugate their bodies to, all the things that the world says are the answer and solution, and yet they had so many diseases and they were just jacked up. I say all that as a backdrop because today the world is offering people just false hope, counterfeit solutions. And so here's where we pick up the text, still relevant today. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Some of you students that are home from college, you saw some of this in the dorms. You saw it full bore. It was anything and everything, craziness going on, right? Verse 20, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, here we are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance in the NIV, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we Christians live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So here's where I want to land the plane today. I'm thinking that as we go into 2024, I want to be in step with the Spirit. I don't want to try to do life in my own power. One of the benefits of getting older is I have a lot less energy. And so I don't have it in me anymore. When I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s, I was that Martha, kind of personality, rise and grind, And one of the benefits of getting older is I know how much I need the Lord. My back, my first three steps in the morning when I get out of bed, man, my back's like, oh yeah, man, my body's breaking down, yo. I need the Lord, All of it is good because it makes me more dependent on Him. But I want to stay in step with the Spirit because my soul, if I'm going to finish well, I'm going to need God's help because I can't do it in my own power. And so I trust that some of you are resonating with that and you're like, man, 2024, I want to do it better and healthier than I did in 2023. And here's where things go sideways for me. This battle between the flesh and the Spirit, here's what I'm learning. If I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit, my first step needs to be to Jesus when I get triggered. So here's what I mean by that. Something doesn't go like I planned it. It might be in traffic. It might be something disappointing. I run a nonprofit ministry, so sometimes I'll send a proposal out, a request for support. It gets rejected, and so I panic, or I feel rejected. My rejection issues come up. And sometimes in the flesh, my first thing would just be, oh, what was wrong? What aren't they don't like me, or whatever it is, taking it personal. Here's what I'm learning to keep in step with the Spirit. My first step needs to be to Jesus. And here's what that looks like. Lord, I feel really rejected right now. I need you to come into this mess with me, God, into this pain, I need you. I don't want to fight it on my own power. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to say things I'll regret. Jesus, would you retrain me? Would you retrain me? Help me to trust you in my disappointment. Help me to trust you in my fear, my insecurity. My first step needs to be to Jesus. And that's one of the keys I wish someone would have told me in earlier in my Christian life. Do you know that I spent so much of my Christian life powering up, plowing through, do better, try harder? I'm Mexican, bro. We work hard, man. My family came from the fields, bro. Like, my dad literally was a migrant farm worker. We got work ethic. And I just spent most of my life as grinding. And I wish someone would have told me, Larry, try softer. Make your first step in basketball. Some of you guys, you know that first step. If you have a good first step, there's a greater chance you're going to make it around your opponent and get to the hoop. That first step needs to be to Jesus. That's how we're going to keep in step with the Spirit. Moms, all the chaos, kids going every which way, you're trying to manage stuff. Inevitably, something's not going to go according to the list, the game plan. There's going to be, you know, some things that don't go exactly in a linear way. Hello? Our tendency is to default to anger. Or, to default to fear, worry. Oh no, what's going to happen? Are they going to be okay? You get worried, mom, you get triggered. Your first step, Jesus. I don't want to try to be Tiger Mom right now. I want you, Jesus, to be my peace. I want you to help me stay in step with you. Help me not to do it in my power, Jesus. Help me to do it with your strength. Do you see how we need to be retrained? Dads, men, in the workplace, in the marketplace, students, wherever you're going to school, whatever pressures and you're under, Jesus, would you be my peace? Would you be my security? So today, I know it's a simple message. Above all else, guard your heart. In 2024, let's be people that guard our hearts. For everything we do comes from our hearts. And let's, what it's going to look like is to keep in step with the Spirit. And so I got to send you to small groups. So in your small groups, here's what I want you to talk about. The last part of the verse says, all the fruit of the Spirit. So I want you to be super vulnerable in your groups if you can. And I want you to share where it's appropriate, maybe a specific way you need to show love, joy, or peace, or patience, or kindness, or goodness, or faithfulness, or self-control, or gentleness. I have one of my kids that is battling some stuff. And I told Jamie, I'm like, I'm chasing after that kid this year. Instead of critiquing what she's not, I'm just going to keep trying to connect and love. And so even in my notes here, in the margin of my Bible, you know, love. I'm going to chase after her with love and just try to just walk with her through some of the OCD stuff she's battling with. And that's what this looks like. Instead of like, why are you washing your hands again? Why the... That's fear. That's like, you know, that's not being in step with the Spirit. You feel me? Like, I want to be like, I want to show the fruit of the Spirit, yo, and how I love my wife, how I love our kids, how I love you and people around me. And so that's what I want you to talk about in your small groups. is, what does it look like to live this out in 2024? So we'll pray at the end. I think we'll come on up and send us into small groups. And yeah, come on, man. And then we'll pray at the end.